Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. At the close of our worship service this morning, we will sing words from this hymn. O Word of God incarnate, O Wisdom from on high, O Truth unchanged, unchanging, O Light of our dark sky, we praise you for the radiance that from the hallowed page, a lantern to our footsteps, shines on from age to age. As we continue in this new year, relatively new year, in another round of the church year, we are now approaching the end of the Epiphany season. We began this season of the church year on January 6th with the reading from the gospel about the wise men, the magi from the east who sought the newborn king by following that supernatural star that God had placed in the sky, or that he had somehow guided them to understand, indicated the birth of someone extremely special in all of the world's history. Maybe you've heard the phrase, wise men still seek him. Wise men and women are still seeking and finding the Savior. And we do this especially in the church year in these 2 months or so of the season of Epiphany. Epiphany, again, from a Greek word that means manifestation or appearance or revelation. A season in which we focus on Jesus being revealed as the Savior of the world, of Jews and Gentiles alike. And so these weeks of the season of Epiphany are very suitable for looking at wisdom's role in our lives. Of course, the Bible has quite a lot to say about wisdom. In the book of Proverbs, wisdom is in fact personified, referred to as in the female terms, with this passage especially from Proverbs chapter 8. Wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. In Psalm 90, the prayer of Moses, the man of God, we read, so teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Getting wisdom. That's what education is all about. It's significant that the earliest worshipers of Jesus included both those who were counted among the wisest in the eyes of the world and also among probably the most uneducated people in the world. You have the magi, the wise men from the east, and then simple shepherds from the fields around Bethlehem to whom the message of the birth of the Savior was revealed. At separate times, but very early on, they both groups came and paid tribute to the Word of God incarnate. God being made, transformed, changed into human flesh, taking on a true human nature in addition to his divine nature. God, the wisdom from on high, come down to earth to live among us sinful human beings. They knew, and they know, and we know today by God's grace, that this is the Word who became flesh, who lived among us full of grace and truth, as the Apostle John writes in the first chapter of his gospel. And since we have beheld his glory, even though not face to face, but in the pages of God's inspired word, the Bible, we have seen the glory of Jesus, the glory of his love and salvation, the glory that he has as the only Son of the Father. We are now able to reflect that light of his glory to the world around us. And keep in mind that our sermon text today is from the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul's the first letter included in the Bible that Paul wrote to the Christians in Corinth. Ancient Corinth was not far from ancient Athens, and that, of course, was the great intellectual center of the Mediterranean world. The ancient Greek people highly valued wisdom. Much of their philosophy dealt with the intellect and with metaphysical speculation on every conceivable subject, a Greek word that is often used in the New Testament, including in the words of today's sermon text, is the word sophia. It means wisdom, We see that root word in the word philosopher, which literally means a lover of wisdom. And among the Greeks, there were many philosophers, many lovers of wisdom. And we read in the book of Acts that those philosophers in Athens loved to do nothing more than to talk about wisdom and about what they considered to be wise ideas all day long. And of course, today, we know that many people like to do that as well. Think about the podcasts that are very popular, some of which are up to 2 or 3 hours long or more, people talking about what seems wise in their eyes or in the eyes of the world. And so it's little wonder that when the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, went into detail about the Christian faith and about human wisdom, he also emphasized the importance of wisdom that comes from God, the wisdom and strength of the Creator of the universe. And he also writes about the strengths and weaknesses of the creature, of human beings whom God has created. In the book of Acts, we're told about Paul's missionary journeys and how when he came to Athens, it disturbed him that he saw so many different false gods being worshipped there in Athens with so many different temples, majestic structures that were built and dedicated to these false gods, all of which were of mankind's own creation. And in Paul's speech on the Areopagus on Mars Hill, he said that he even saw one altar in Athens that was dedicated to an unknown god. And that prompted these words from the Apostle Paul in Acts 17. He said, "What you worship as unknown, I am now going to proclaim to you." And so then they invited him to come and speak more to them about this new wisdom, and he used that natural knowledge of God that was ingrained in their hearts, that was evident to them of God's existence from the world that God has created. He used that as a springboard to tell them about God incarnate, God in human flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. But if you recall from that section, when Paul finally came to the message about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, many in the crowd began to mock him, saying that, "Oh, we're able to accept some new and strange messages, but this, Paul, this is too far even for us." So in other words, the wisdom of the creature, human wisdom, was something that they wanted to hear, but not the wisdom of the Creator, not the wisdom of God in Christ. In the first chapter of Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, Paul had spoken about Jesus, whom God made our wisdom. And this is our good news today also. We have similar situations today with many people liking to hear and discuss ideas of human wisdom. Think about new technical developments and discoveries that are so intriguing and captivating. But scientific progress, with all of its wonder and the marvels and the conveniences that it can bring into our life, still cannot bring us a savior from sin, our ultimate and deepest need and problem. Think about all the isms, all the philosophies, all the cults and the movements of the world today. None of them can answer that deep need of our problem of sin and the damnation in hell that we deserve for our sin. The wisdom of the creature created by God cannot answer the age-old problem about the great chasm that exists between God and sinful human beings. We need a savior from sin, and that is where the true wisdom from God the Creator comes in. And so Paul was speaking to those people who were wise in the eyes of the world, wise in their own eyes in ancient Corinth, and he said he didn't come to bring lofty words of human wisdom, words of only a worldly, secular nature. No, he says, "I came to bring you a message of wisdom from the Creator of the world and the universe himself," which paradoxically leads to the wisdom of the cross, which seems to be foolishness, utter foolishness, in the eyes of the world. Paul's message was Jesus Christ and him crucified. And we see that message emphasized again and again throughout the New Testament. In Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says that God shows his love for us in this, that we, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How foolish, the world says, for you to give up your life for a criminal, for someone who has mocked you and sinned against you. How foolish. But the crucified Christ testifies to the witness of the wisdom of the Creator in contrast to the wisdom of the creature, to human wisdom. Ancient Corinth and Greece was so full of human pride and sin, materialism, sophistry, and worldly wisdom. In one way, it knew so much. Their knowledge was so advanced. And yet Paul knew that it needed something more, something far more important, the wisdom of the Creator himself. The lifestyle of the Corinthians revolved around pleasure, around things of the mind, around material things, things of the world. But there was a haunting feeling, as there always is in hearts that don't yet rest in Jesus and his forgiveness, a haunting feeling that all of that was still not enough. And that is why the Apostle Paul preached Christ crucified as the answer to their great need. It wasn't easy for him. And it isn't easy for us as we approach people who are intrigued by intellectualism, by the wisdom of the world, and who at the moment are not very concerned about the wisdom of the Creator. So Paul says to the Corinthians, I came in weakness. I came in much fear and trembling. And again, he says, my message and my speech were not in persuasive words of human wisdom. He says, I was no great orator, no great public speaker. But he does go on saying, I have a message that is truly powerful and wise, Jesus Christ and him crucified. And that message is in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and the power of God himself. This good news is not human wisdom, but the wisdom of God himself, the power and wisdom that God reveals in his Son, Jesus. And so when we hear the command of the Old Testament repeated in the New Testament that we are to love God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind, that gives us the truly balanced life. And those passages also add that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Think about Jesus when he was 12 years old and he came with his parents to Jerusalem to celebrate the festival, and his parents started heading back with the group from Nazareth back to Nazareth. But unbeknownst to them, Jesus stayed behind in the temple courts and continued talking with the experts in the law. And then finally, his parents realized that he wasn't with them on the way back to Nazareth. They went back, and after searching for days, they found Jesus there in the temple courts, and people were amazed at the wise words with which this 12-year-old was speaking with these older men who were very learned in the truth of God's word of the Old Testament. Jesus went back to Nazareth with his parents. He continued to live there with him, continued to go to synagogue on the Sabbath day, continued to hear and learn God's word. And we read this observation about him as he grew up and matured in Luke chapter 2, that he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And so there we see a balanced growth. And that's so important for Christians today when it's so easy, on the one hand, to scorn the ways, the wisdom of this world, to veer too far on the other side into anti-intellectualism, rejecting the gift of wisdom and of human reason that God has given to us. No, Christians should be intellectually respectable and curious, seeking to discover more about the wonders of God's created world and making good use of the minds that he has given to us to prepare ourselves to be able to answer those who have a question about what we believe. But the reverse is also true, that intellectuals should be religiously respectable as well. Just as the wise men from the East, from Persia perhaps, came to Jerusalem to find out more about God's promises in Christ, so also intellectuals, those who consider themselves wise in worldly wisdom today, should seek to know more about God and about his plan of salvation in his inspired word. Because after all, how can you honestly decide whether you can follow the Christian faith unless you know what the Christian faith says and believes? The last verse of our text suggests the proper perspective so that your faith might not rest in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Our text for today does not negate the desirability of human wisdom. No, faith rests, according to our sermon text, in human wisdom alone. That kind of faith is, of course, an incomplete foundation, but faith that rests in the power of God as the true and complete foundation, that faith is on a firm and solid foundation. True wisdom is Christ crucified. In ancient Athens and Corinth and Greece, on the streets and the marketplaces, vendors would go up and down the streets peddling their wares and crying out, "What do you lack? What do you lack? What do you need that I can sell you?" is of course the implied message. But all of us should ask about ourselves spiritually, intellectually, what do I lack? Am I sufficient, self-sufficient, materially and spiritually? Materially, many people might say, yes, I can make it on my own. I can learn lots of things and put my knowledge to use to earn money, to provide for myself the things that I need for body and life. But spiritually, there's the haunting feeling that we lack a bridge back to God. But of course, the good news for us is found in what Christ came to be and to do. He is our Savior and our Redeemer. The cross is the symbol of God's love for us. There's another cherished hymn that states, "In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time, all the light of sacred story gathers round its head sublime." In Psalm 27, the inspired writer of the psalm talks about beholding the beauty of the Lord. And then he goes on to suggest that we should inquire about the Lord, learn wisdom from him in his temple to bring the mind, to bring human wisdom to bear in our life's plan. We aren't to trade God for gadgets and for technological innovation, but we also aren't to disparage human wisdom and learning. No, there should be a balanced view of wisdom. The wisdom of the Creator is of utmost importance, and the wisdom that he gives to us, our human intellect, is also to be used to learn about his amazing love and his created order. Jesus said that the greatest virtue is love. And Paul wrote to these same Corinthians later on in his first letter in chapter 8, he wrote that knowledge puffs up, makes us arrogant and conceited, but love builds up. Love truly edifies and strengthens. Knowledge and love together give us true power from God, the knowledge of God's love for us through his Son, Jesus, our Savior. And so we pray that God would ever and always open our hearts to the true wisdom that comes from him. There's another hymn which puts it this way: "Immortal, invisible God, only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, almighty, victorious, your great name we praise." May that true wisdom from God always be the thing that our hearts hold as our dearest treasure. And may we share it by God's grace with many others for the salvation of many souls. Amen.